right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to KSWV Radio, 99.9 FM, 810 AM. And we want to welcome to our studios mayoral candidate Taryn Nix. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me grab it a little closer.
Gotta
perfect.
Heat the mic a little bit more. Good morning, Santa Fe.
Thank you. Thank you for being here with us today.
Of course.
You know, I'm glad you're in our studios.
Me too.
You officially announced your run for mayor a little while ago, but seems like people have known for quite some time with some posts that they've seen on social media and whatnot. But you're here so you can explain your vision for what you'd like to see in our city. So for the next 40 minutes or so, we're excited to learn more about what you have to say.
I'm excited to share with your listeners. My name is Taryn Nix. I've been the deputy land commissioner at the New Mexico State Land Office for the last 7 years. Dream job. And really, that's in part because of really great leadership and a really great team. And, you know, we'll kind of get into that. But the reason why Esteban said that I had been running for a while, although I just announced, that is kind of true. Last year, I started an organization called Fix Our City Different because I was really upset with the actions of this current administration and city council. And I wanted to figure out, one, why things were happening the way they were and were they fixable? And how bad was it? And in 2 years of conversations and research, I realized it wasn't a one-off. You might be mad about one thing here in Santa Fe, but I can assure you that all the roles and responsibilities the state legislature has put on this city governments have failed to be met. And it's not a one-off. It's every facet of City Hall is not functioning at the way it should. And so I did a lot of videos, and we've done a citywide survey. We were up to 904 survey respondents. You can still take that survey at fixourcitydifferent.org. My goal is to have everyone's voices heard. I don't want to stop at just 900. I'd love thousands. So please take the survey and let us know what's working for you and what's not in Santa Fe, because we are getting new leadership this year, not only in the form of a mayor, but also in a few city councilors. And so things are going to change, and I hope to be a big part of that reason why.
Of those 900 responses, it seems like a large sample size of, by any accounts, of people responding to a survey. What are the biggest issues that you're hearing from those constituents that your administration would like to address? What are the biggest issues you think that are facing? And I know all of these are interrelated. I get it. But tell us, what are you hearing?
So, I mean, I just want to say, for one, if I'm mayor, I want you to know that a forensic audit on every bond, every commission, every committee, every function of City Hall will be audited forensically, intrinsically. We need to figure out really what's happening with the money. With that said, I think a lot of the issues that people are experiencing are because of this kind of cash flow, lack of prioritization, or just the inability to deliver efficient results quickly when we're spending taxpayer dollars. So you get roads a lot. Most people's roads have not been paved for decades. They don't understand why we are just kind of doing these pothole paloozas only and acting like that's a fix. Like, we need better roads. Crime, obviously, are, you know, kind of coupled with our homeless situation, is at the top of people's minds. And parks and rec, people want either more parks or want their parks maintained. And then housing, obviously. I think you have at least 30% of this community that can't afford to live here. Another probably 20% that are paycheck to paycheck to live here. So we need not only Section 8 housing, we need affordable housing, we need obtainable housing for our first responders and teachers, and there needs to be a sense of urgency about it.
Well, I think that's a nice tee up for the conversation, taking a look at homelessness, the unhoused. Last night, the city council okayed a second pellet shelter site there at 2395 Richards Avenue. Next to the fire station, there is this micro community. What are your thoughts on these micro communities, on the action that was taken last night? Would you continue? If so, how do you address the balance of the homeless, unhoused situation in crime in our city?
So I know a lot of people talk about how there's, you know, different facets of folks that are unhoused, and, you know, not everyone wants to be housed. And that is a reality of, you know, what we live with today. We have hundreds of chronically homeless people that, you know, for whatever reason are not going to fit into the pallet shelter home model. I also think for all intent and purposes, I don't understand why we're using all the political capital on pallet shelter homes when what's really needed is a one-stop operation here in this community. We need not only a shelter that can actually accommodate and is not in the middle of our most, you know, busiest section of town. We need a actual encampment that's, you know, near that facility. We need a drug rehab facility because we need more beds in town. And we need a mental health facility, a level 4. We have nowhere to put folks that have already been deemed unfit by the courts to not go to jail. So they are left really in a weird place. If we can't put them in Rio Rancho or Albuquerque, they're kind of stuck in this limbo of hospital to shelter, hospital to shelter, until the shelter can't take them anymore. So that problem needs to be solved first, because we've gotten a lot of transitional housing going, or we're supposed to be having that going with the Lamplighter Inn and some other builds that are supposed to be taking place here in town, which again, failure to be able to do that quickly is also part of the thing. We do need transitional housings for domestic violence victims, for our vets. We've had that program for years now to get vets at, you know, 0% unhoused rates, and we're still not anywhere near close to doing that. I don't know why we keep talking about things instead of doing things. So
how do we balance that with the concerns that are being raised by residents that are saying, hey, we're concerned about these pallet shelters being located in our community or in our neighborhoods. You know, our homes are our biggest, single biggest, largest investment that we're making an investment in. We want to leave those to our kids or our grandkids. Mm-hmm. How do you address those concerns at the same time?
I totally understand where they're coming from. We are building pallet shelter homes that have a 10-year lifespan. They cannot be refurbished. I don't know what lack of foresight is happening over at City Hall on every level, but the fact that we're not building brick and mortar, real, you know, cottage style homes or cute little adobe homes in these lots that, you know, make our ideal that we can do this, that would make more sense to me that it is true transitional housing. What we're doing now is spending $1.3 million on 10 pallet shelter homes to try and reintegrate folks. It has had some success, but not at the level of reintegration that we would see to need $1.3 million. That was basically the Pete's Place budget. So now we have another one coming in that will be another contract for more wraparound services. We have a 1.8 contract coming in for that service that's taking over Pete's Place. I don't know what our alternative response units are doing, because that's what they were supposed to be doing, was going on the streets and meeting people where they're at and helping deal with this crisis. So again, it just seems we keep throwing money at problems and not really getting to the heart of real solutions.
And your take on, since you brought your take on the interfaith shelter and the recent actions taken by the city.
Yeah, I mean, if we had $1.8 million to spend a year, one, I would have hoped we could give more than $80,000 a year to Pete's Place to survive. Two, I think we could have humored the idea that was floated 15 years ago and again 11 years ago and again every year that I've lived here from our service provider saying we need the one stop. I do think on some level, $1.8 million could have been used for 5 additional alternative response units. And for those who don't know, alternative response units have a police officer, 2 EMTs, a social worker. They are really supposed to be the people that are in our communities day in, day out, kind of the boots on the ground, helping address, you know, the kind of mental health homelessness crisis that we see and drug addiction, as opposed to just clearing encampments, which has been their primary job, if they have even done it.
We're visiting with Taryn Nix, candidate for mayor here in Santa Fe, with public safety. You know, obviously these are interrelated subjects, but people are concerned about crime, mm-hmm. visible drug use in our city, mental health issues, concerned about like just even being able to walk from their car into the grocery store. What would be your approach to the police force and trying to increase public safety in our town.
You know, I'm not on the ground there, and so I can't say with authority what's happening, but I can say that we have a lot less police officers in a city our size, with the tourism our size, and with the capital our size in it. I know that might sound a little controversial. I don't know that we need hard cops. I think alternative response units are the way to go. I think another 20 additional team, you know, five additional teams at least, that are in our community on a daily basis, visible, seen, able to act quickly, is one way I would do it. I also just think we need better management of our money. We have less cops, but overall we have about $100 million more in budget than a city like Tallahassee that has tourism and a capital. I don't know what's happening to the money. This is why I talk very candidly about a forensic audit. I don't think we've ever been clear from any audit since they started 20 years ago that what's really happening in Santa Fe. And I think we need to get a real good grip on that, so that way we can reallocate money to roads, to our, you know, law enforcement, first responders. I mean, our firefighters have been promised a station off of South Meadows for almost a decade that is still almost a decade away. Why? Why? The county's having to pick up those pieces for all those annexed in areas that are being built out. So again, where is the priority? For me, it's public safety, it's infrastructure, it's like the wastewater plant. We're not having that conversation, but there's a lot of money out there for it. Why haven't we gone after it to build a new wastewater treatment plant that they've let go to the wayside?
Now, can you explain what an alternative response unit is for someone that might be hearing it for the first time and how that differs from the police force, just that people understand your vision?
Yeah. So right now, the alternative response units are actually housed under the firefighters, because they are the primary ones that have been dealing with the mental health issues that happen on the streets and in, you know, our neighborhoods, and with the and with the in-house population as well. And so it was kind of, I think originally they had one team a couple of years ago that was kind of there to alleviate some of this burden. They added two more teams over the last 2 years, or they were supposed to. But if you look at the numbers, they've gone down. The New Mexicans reported on it. So I don't know what's happening. We've hired social workers, we've hired caseworkers, but they seem to then also be hiring now third-party contractors to do that job. So they're supposed to be in the community. So if we get a call that is a low-threat crime, right? So like someone is using drugs, someone is having a mental health episode and on the streets, someone is, you know, encamped on your property or in a vacant lot near your property, they're supposed to be the ones that are going and addressing those issues. So it's not, you're not risking hopefully a shootout, right, with trigger happy folks. You're really going with folks that are trained to deal with at-risk populations. And so I think we need a lot more of that. I don't think we've done our due diligence, and I don't think spending millions and millions of dollars for third party groups that we can't hold that accountable is the way to go.
We could talk about this one issue like for hours. I want to talk to you about our sanctuary city status, but before we transition a bit, any other info you want to share regarding public safety or crime that we haven't touched upon yet?
No, I think
okay. Okay. Now for our sanctuary city status, you know, how do you balance protecting immigrant families and complying with federal laws? Specifically, we've seen in and I've asked this of the other candidates, what the executive branch of our government is doing and talking about, potentially arresting officials in California, withholding federal funding from California. How, as mayor, how would you balance the needs of our immigrant community in our town and abiding by what federal officials are asking?
You know, I mean, it's a tough place to be in. I get for anyone that has to make tough decisions. I do think the city could do more for the immigrant population in terms of figuring out solutions for notification and alerts and kind of keeping people in the conversation. I know there's a couple of organizations, Earth Care and stuff, that are doing really, really great work around kind of going into those communities and doing that work. I know Villa Therese and La Familia are, you know, from a healthcare perspective, are doing the Lord's work. You know, the sanctuary city is not something that I have any desire to change, but I do want to make sure that we are upholding our own laws correctly. I don't think that we have from a crime perspective per se when it comes to, you know, making sure that we're writing police reports and making sure that, like, if there's a hit and run, that, like, you know, folks that are victims of those, they're not big crimes, misdemeanor crimes. They're not worth being sent anywhere or going to jail. But we do have regular citizens that are just being impacted and not being able to, you know, get their insurance claims filled out or filed correctly and, you know, get results to be able to live their life here. So I do want us to start having an honest conversation about what Sanctuary City means to me. To me, it means that we're not keeping, you know, we're not turning over folks. We're not keeping, you know, hard records to send to folks in that capacity. I don't need it on a police report for it to say someone's undocumented. Right. That is unnecessary. We can have a different conversation around how we deal with misdemeanor crimes. But I don't want us to get into a place that, like, Albuquerque's gotten into, where we're not treating everyone with the same rules and expectations. If you're going to live here, you have to follow the same rules and you know, that everyone else does.
We're visiting with Taryn Nix. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to give her an opportunity to drink some water and get reset.
And I am getting a little hoarse.
A little hoarse. And we'll be back with more right here on KSWV Suave Radio. All right. We're visiting with Taryn Nix, candidate for mayor here in Santa Fe, sharing your vision for what you want to do. We're talking about some big topics here. You have been doing a survey. You've heard from over 900 residents, respondents, talk about what the issues are that you've heard. You talked about roads, crime, homelessness, parks and rec, and housing. We're touching up on all these here and there. They're all interrelated. And so some of my questions may not exactly be in categorical order, so I apologize about that. I know we talked a little bit about housing when we talked about the unhoused and the homeless. How about for working families? How do we address trying to make housing affordable for local families that just want to have a chance to have their kids or their grandkids here? Mm-hmm. And everybody's perspective on what affordable means, and I use air quotes on that, because, you know, Santa Fe is a rather expensive place. So how are you going to tackle housing?
You know, there's a whole plethora of ways to tackle housing. One is to address the short-term rental issue, right? I mean, if we could get even just a fraction of those, you know, thousands and thousands of homes that have now gone into the short-term rental market as opposed to the actual rental market or just for sale for small families, that would be wonderful. I think there's a couple of ways to address that, but I won't get into the weeds right now on that. I would also love for us to fix our permitting department and land use department entirely. And I know that's going to sound crazy to say, but under previous administrations, we did not, there was the fee in lieu. Everyone likes to talk about the fee in lieu and getting rid of the fee in lieu. That has existed since the Koss administration. It was something that was so rarely used in previous administrations. And that's because they didn't have a 2 to 3 year turnaround time on permitting build out. They didn't also red tag in the middle of build out and become, you know, unmovable in terms of, like, working with the permitted, you know, builder. And so what you end up seeing is, like, people get frustrated. You have these major delays, costs compound on top of it when you have delays on the land, everything else. And so they pay the fee instead of building out the affordable or attainable housing. And we can fix that. We can get them to build and get to the market quicker and cut that kind of excuse out. If they still do it, then we can have the conversation about removing fee in lieu. But I think that it's an internal process that's failing at City Hall that needs to be fixed. I am really hopeful that HomeWise's 1,200 homes end up in that attainable area. Obviously, there's the program that the city has for its staff and its first responders to get down payment assistance. I would love to see how we help Habitat build, you know, more homes that are locked in for 30 years and other builders like Habitat that are going to guarantee that it is affordable for at least a couple of maybe two generations, because we just can't have things continue to go up. And then I think there's a couple of things the state legislature needs to do to lock it in and make it easier for counties and cities to like give apartment complex owners a break, a tax break or a property break on if they lock in their rates as affordable. I think there's a whole combination of things that need to happen. It will require a lot of teamwork, but I'm up to that challenge.
You're talking about a fee in lieu of, and talking about fees, there is a proposal that council passed that was struck down by the courts about taxing homes over $1 million.
I made a whole video on it.
Share with us your thoughts on that.
So that tax was originally tried to pass it in 2009 and it failed. In 2009, it was widely known that it was an illegal tax. You go back and read all the city council records, which I have since 2007, and it's very clear that everyone has known that it is an illegal tax. The fact that this administration and city council decided to do a fake, you know, election on this issue is maddening to me. How many hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent in voters really wanted that solution. I want that solution for you too, but that is the state legislature. They are the only ones who can do that type of tax. And so I would urge you to call your state senator and state rep and ask them to make affordable housing a priority for real and a policy level. But why are we talking about taxing the second home like the county did? I don't, like, we're not having the legal conversations that we can have. And instead we're just blowing hot air at people's skirts.
What about city owned property?
I mean, we have so much of it. Why is the city so against using it for what they need and want? It's perplexing to me. I don't know. They've come to my office, the land office, demand, you know, asking for land for pallet shelter homes and other build out. And it's like, that's not appropriate use for our land. Like, we need to make money off of it. That's our state, you know, requirement. But I'm all for us having the right conversations. I think that Midtown has a really unique opportunity. If we were to call it a brownfield and get, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in to redevelop it, because we need that. I don't know if you know, but I do, that it is a wasteland of asbestos dump. That's where we used to dump and bury our asbestos. And the college knew that when they built out there and said they didn't think it had that much of an impact. And then the city did as well when they started putting stuff out there. It is really bad. It's not great. You can't move that soil without remediation. And it's, as a developer said that walked away from the Midtown project, it's at least $36 million in remediation work that needs to happen in Midtown. Now, with that said, again, if we were able and willing to call it a brownfield and get that money to redevelop it, I think it has a unique, you know, opportunity for us to not only have really cool in at Loretto looking Section 8 housing and, you know, apartment kind of complexes and a community space, but I think it's an opportunity to maybe envision a downtown for locals, right? One that doesn't have short-term rentals, one that doesn't have hotels and motels, one that really is for an eat, work, play, you know, affordable area. And it's a conversation that I want to have. I'm hopeful that everyone else wants to have it. But right now the city is trying to sell up that land to the highest bidder, and it will just end up the same way it has always ended up.
The issue of the Midtown development, economic development, how would you go about trying to grow small business? How would you go about supporting local businesses and help diversify our economy?
Yeah. So one, I think if we fix our infrastructure, our roads, we actually have, like, you know, transportation that doesn't leave you stranded at the airport when you come to travel in. I think once we do the basics that City Hall is supposed to be doing correctly, I think kind of if you build it, they will come, right? If you fix it, they will come in our case. I don't think I need to go out and woo businesses to come to Santa Fe. People want to be in Santa Fe. I need workers here. We can't woo any more businesses here without having workers that can actually live here. And right now we don't have enough. That's why places are closed at 5 p.m. or maybe dinner's last call at 8 p.m., right? We need to figure out how to get the workforce back in Santa Fe before we can start asking folks to come relocate their businesses here. But on that said, I think we can be doing a whole lot more from a crime victims compensation fund perspective and getting the resources back into the businesses to pay for security and loss of income, especially during construction, those kinds of things. I also think that we could just make it easier to do business in Santa Fe. Again, City Hall, when you have to go for any kind of permitting, build, any kind of, you know, sign off. It is a difficult process, and it shouldn't be. They should be working for you, not the other way around.
Guadalupe Street's been something that a lot of businesses have been concerned about. Mm-hmm. You have public works projects. You talked about public works and roads being a big item that you've been hearing a lot about. What about your thoughts on how this Guadalupe Street development and road pavement work has been going and affecting businesses?
It was supposed to be started 14 years ago. It has been delayed. This administration restudied it another time to, I don't know if they changed anything or thought that maybe it would stop from happening. But I always joke that, like, even in the studies that we're doing, we're not asking the right questions. Why aren't we talking about a dig once opportunity if we were going to do this? Like, why aren't we talking about fixing the wastewater pipes, fixing the water pipes, burying some of the cables, you know, making sure our water pipes are working, you know, ideally? Like, we're not ever having the right conversation. So you have this massive delay. Then you have the initial construction, which happened, closed down the other side of Guadalupe. Then they went to the other side, and then they opened up the same side of Guadalupe they had already had done. I don't know what happens at City Hall between the project management of the contractors that they're using, but every project seems to have to be redone. That kind of stuff is just a waste of taxpayer dollars, and it's a waste of time. I also think they should have had a conversation with the businesses about how are we going to advertise for you correctly? How are we going to give you the ample parking that's necessary? What are we going to do to offset this kind of construction? And also, how can we make it move faster? I don't think that anyone asked that until that meeting happened a couple of weeks ago. And then all of a sudden, they were passing meeting deadlines and exceeding them very, very quickly. So it is possible to get things done here quite fast if someone wills it to happen.
We're going to take a break. Come back with Taryn Nix, candidate for mayor here in Santa Fe. All right. We are back. We're visiting with Taryn Nix, candidate for mayor here in Santa Fe. And let's talk about you surveyed residents. You got over 900 responses. Mm-hmm. Parks and Rec was one of the items that you mentioned at the beginning mm-hmm. of our discussion. How would you go about, making our parks a place where families want to go and hang out and keep them safe?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can go so many different ways. Let's go with, like, just parks in general. I think, one, in areas that we have kind of park oasis, like deserts, right, that, like, it's over a mile to walk to a park, we need to have that conversation. But in theory, we probably shouldn't be building any more parks right now because we can't maintain them. And while I love the park ranger idea, I don't know why we had to lose what I think was a really cool project or cool program that existed for at least a decade or more, where high school students, juniors and seniors could come work during the summer, you know, get really great experience, maintain our parks for real. And, you know, at the end of that season, at least one or two were given full-time jobs. And it was like a pathway to a career for those who weren't going to go into the trades or go to college. And I think losing those kind of opportunities for our youth is very, very detrimental. I also think losing the program that had police officers living in our parks was detrimental. I think we could have built, again, more brick and mortar kind of homes that looked good. But I think in some areas, especially where it's known activity, we got to have more of a presence, right? I think also, I don't know why we're so adverse to cameras around our parks, and I don't know why we don't have a monitoring system of those areas that we can send and dispatch folks to when needed. But it just feels like we're not trying. And then when it comes to actual recreation, I think the thing I found most maddening in all the research was that, like, the city brags a lot about walk paths, bike trails, sports rec stuff. But the reality is they're not paying for it and they're not doing it. They're just showing up for the ribbon cutting ceremony or being the pass through for the capital outlay funding that other people went and fought for. It has been a decade of knowing that we need double the soccer fields in town. We need an indoor arena. I'm happy to give land and allow private money to develop that out for indoor, for football, for, you know, the gloom, and for our rec teams. I don't know why we keep punting our rec sports for our youth onto local community members to pick up the pieces. And every year, the request and the requirements get more and more, you know, just outrageous. And I've sat in on those calls every year, the last couple of years. And I mean, I don't know why people that work at City Hall don't think that they're public servants. But the comments are always like, you should be lucky that we're even letting you have this. And that has got to change. That has got to change from the top down. I think a lot of people at City Hall are trying their best. I really, really do. But we do not have the leadership that is demanding public service, that is demanding the excellence of a community that Santa Fe deserves. And I think Parks and Rec is a really big aspect of that. And I think this community really, really wants that to be resolved.
How would you go about, like, so when you're asking, you know, city staff, and you talked about that just a second ago, maybe to do more, you know, there's obviously negotiations with unions that have to happen. How would you balance the relationships with the unions for the city, and but asking more of employees?
I'm not asking them to work more. I'm asking us to have a reprioritization of what their job potentially is, right? I do think the only thing from a union standpoint that needs to change is I need the bus drivers to come out of the big union contract and have their own. I need SMART to have their own contract, because I think the realities of what we're trying to do with public transportation require a different conversation than what we're trying to do with, you know, maintenance and other jobs at City Hall. I am a big supporter of unions. I am very angry that we've lost a lot of union jobs over the last 5 years, from the golf course to bus drivers to others. We are hemorrhaging. And I would love to figure out how we strengthen the local unions here, grow them from police to fire to AFSCME, and all in between, right? I love the fact that they have a third party group that can fight for them. I think that is, as someone who's been in state government now and knows that how HR really operates, HR is necessary. You need a great HR. I have a great team at the land office. I have a great team coming into the city hall to take that over. But the reality is they work for the city. They work for City Hall. And the employees need that level of protection. I think if you're not in a union and you're employed at City Hall right now, I would love a third party counseling service that is there for you to vent to, as opposed to venting to HR, right? I think there needs to be a level of trust and honesty that's happening, but I don't know where $550 million a year is going right now. So I don't know. They need to do more. I just need them to do the right job. And I don't know if they've ever had that conversation.
On the issue of monuments and statues.
Loss of erasure of culture, yeah, and history.
Let's talk a little bit. The Don Diego de Vargas statue was removed from Cathedral Park and relocated. There was the obelisk that was toppled. A lot of passion on both sides. You have passion from people that are saying that there was... the Three Sisters Collective, and others that have voiced concerns about not being sensitive to their argument. Then you have Hispanic groups saying that their viewpoints aren't being listened to. How do you bridge and bring people together, and how do you handle those two specific issues, and then issues in general about our community?
I think, you know, it's a valid conversation. I'm not happy about the erasure of any culture or any historic aspect of Santa Fe. I don't think as a community we've ever done a good job at telling the whole and complete history of Santa Fe. And I think that is something that should be rectified. I don't think that it should start just at the, you know, obelisk. I think it should start well before then. And I think we should be having a real conversation about how we're telling that publicly and how we're making that more of a present conversation in downtown specifically. With that said, I don't think allowing anyone to deface, dismantle, or destroy public or private property is a good thing. They had a year to have a real conversation prior to any of that nonsense even happening. I made a whole video about it, but it was failure after failure for this city hall to provide good government. It was overreach. It was misstep. It created a whole new race war in our community that was so unnecessary. The right people were not held accountable. Three Sisters should have been held accountable. They threatened to take it down. They incited people to take it down. They took it down. I don't think that anyone had the right conversation at any point. I do think that something that we don't know about that I have found out recently is that there was a reconciliation process that did happen with the old Spanish settler families and the folks that pulled down the obelisk. And from what I understand, that process was, you know, really intense and it had really great outcome, but it is a private process. And that is what the city and the DA chose to do. So, you know, how do you have that conversation as a whole city is kind of the conversation that I want. I'd like to go back to the days where we are having real community meetings and dialogues, where we're having breakout groups and people are able to ask real questions and come up with real solutions and feel heard and feel seen. Not you show up to a town hall that there's no resolutions and they're just, you know.
Would you want to rebuild the obelisk?
Oh, I think it should have already been rebuilt. It could have been rebuilt three times by now with the amount of money they've wasted on fighting it in court and, you know, paying for other processes than what they legally should have. Legally, they needed to rebuild it.
What about the DeVargas statue?
I don't know legally what that one has to, where it has to stay. It is not my fight. And I don't think it should be the fight of City Hall. If someone wanted to move it, that should have been a conversation that was brought to the whole city, right? Not to a small select group of people that most of them don't even have the cultural history or relationship to make those kinds of calls. I myself fall into that same boat. I don't think it should be my call as a white woman where any statue is, but I will follow the law, and the law is rebuild. So
we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Taryn, we've given each candidate an opportunity to make their pitch, to get on that pitcher's mound and to talk about why you're the best person to lead our city. We're going to take a quick break, give you an opportunity to drink some water and be back with more to hear the pitch and be back with more in just a moment. All right. We are back with mayoral candidate Taryn Nix. Taryn, we've given each candidate an opportunity to make their pitch. It's like that Shark Tank show. But if you could explain to the listeners why you're the best candidate to lead the city, let them know where they can follow you, get more information, that type of thing. The pitch is yours.
Yeah. So again, my name is Taryn Nix. You can find the campaign at Team Taryn. That's TARIN.com or on social media at Team Taryn on all of the various platforms. And if you want to see kind of what I've been doing in the last year and see some of the videos and really get an understanding for how I feel about the obelisk, about wastewater, water in general, housing, please visit fixourcitydifferent.org. You can also still take the survey. We're going to keep it open through the end of the year. We're doing a preliminary report this summer that you'll all have access to see where the 900 kind of folks are already at that have come in. But the reason why I should be your candidate, and I hope I can count on your vote or at least your number two spot on the ballot, because we do have ranked choice voting, is because unlike all of my opponents, I have not created the mess that we are experiencing here in Santa Fe. I am not a politician. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what needs to happen based on hundreds of hours of conversations and meetings with experts, reading every city council minute, understanding not only what good government looks like, but I've done 7 years of delivering good government at the New Mexico State Land Office. We have exceeded every expectation. We have the happiest workforce in the state of New Mexico and maybe in the country when it comes to state government. I know how to deliver real results. I believe in real leadership. I believe in trusting the experts. And I'm probably the only person that you're going to hear real specific plan action items about how we're going to get there really, really quickly if you elect me as mayor. So I hope I can count on your support. Again, teamtaryn.com. And I hope if you want, you can also schedule a direct meeting with me. That's the kind of mayor I'll be. I'm always going to be accessible. My schedule is online at teamtaryn.com. You can pick a day and a time that works for you and I'll show up. I've done it for about 57 folks so far in town, and I'll do it for you.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Taryn, for being with our listeners today. And we have about a minute left. Let's see, one topic that we didn't get to is water. So super important. In a minute and a half, share your thoughts on water.
I mean, one, we're not really monitoring it right now. We got to start monitoring it. We need to figure out a solution for Two Mile Pond and for our living river. I need us to fix the wastewater treatment plant immediately. It's probably going to have to be a combination of bonds, private money, and public money. It's going to be a brand new thing if we want to be able to maintain our requirements for the EPA and other state agencies. And so I think we need water under one umbrella here in the city. Right now it's piecemealed out all over the place. Parks have rivers. It is all over the place. So we need it under one umbrella. And then we can start having water as a conversation, as a whole, because it's all connected. Blackwater reused for life, y'all. No.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. And our time is...
thank you. I really appreciate you crew. So thank you.
Man, time flies by. We could talk for days on all these issues with all our candidates. And appreciate you coming to share your vision with our listeners today. Folks, you can find our interview later on today on our website at kswvradio.com, kswvradio.com. Earlier in the week, we visited with Oscar Rodriguez, Ronnie Trujillo, Michael Garcia today, Taryn Nix tomorrow, Joanne Vigil Coppler. We're having an upcoming debate that's going to be September 3rd and 17th at the Santa Fe Community College. Keswava Radio, we're collaborating with KSFR, the New Mexican, and Santa Fe Community College to bring these debates to you live streamed over the radio and covered by the newspaper. So I think this is the first time that all of the media has collaborated together in an event like this. So we're excited to bring this to you, our listeners. This is Suava Radio. We'll be back with more in just a moment.